to Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo. I'm Ryan Bickle. On today's show, we have a very special guest from Zimbabwe with us today. So his name is Zulu, and he has traveled to the United States to learn more about education in zoos specifically. So we're very glad that you could come and visit us for a week and learn more about what we do here at Blank Park Zoo. And maybe today we can learn more about you and what you do, and maybe we'll even ask you what you think of all the snow we have outside today. How about that?
Thank you.
And starting off the show today, Jesse Lowry, Director of Conservation and Research here at Blank Park Zoo, is going to start this show off today.
Thanks, Ryan. We're really excited to have Zulu here. He works with the Painted Dog Research Trust and just brings a lot of passion and a lot of expertise to the table. It's always great to hear those stories from the front lines, from the people who are out in the range countries of these amazing animals that we love so much here in Iowa. And it's part of, you know, the conservation mission of an accredited zoo like Blank Park Zoo to really support efforts to save animals in the wild. And, you know, I always say the real heart of what a zoo can do is the support of those field organizations. And we have been supporting Painted Dog Research Trust on and off for years. And we had Dr. Greg Rasmussen from the organization here at the zoo last year. And it's just a fantastic organization working on the front lines. And so I think we should just get right to Zulu and hear about, first of all, I'd love to hear, this is your first time in the United States, is that right?
Yes, you are correct.
Okay, so yes. What do you think of the United States coming from Zimbabwe?
Actually, thank you very much. I came at the right time. That's when there is snow all over around. And I've been seeing snow several times in pictures, videos, newspapers, and so forth. I thought it was something not real. So I would say I'm blessed that I'm here during this time of the year to witness and to certify that real wave snow happening, occurring as part of the part of climate in America.
And so you can go back and impress your family and friends and tell them exactly what snow feels like. And it's just, you know, we don't usually get this much snow in Iowa. And so it is quite lucky that you got to see this much.
Yes, already I've sent some pictures back home. people have actually asked me many questions about snow. And they are expecting more to come and tell them what snow is, how do I feel when you touch it, and things like that. And I've been wondering how people are surviving here with us when we have such a situation. People spend much of their time indoors, and some people absent themselves from work. School children won't go to school.
Yes, we are so excited to hear more about your story and excited that you're here to learn more about conservation education. So your reason for coming to the U.S., you went to the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, or AZA, conservation education class last week.
Yes, I was there. I attended that course actually to equip and get some more concepts in terms of having a programmed activity whereby I learn about how you can impart knowledge to different groups of people, especially effective designing a conservation education program, which was very exciting. And it gave me the opportunity to exchange some ideas with people from various parts of America. Of course, there was one man from America, from South Africa. Actually, it was a good idea to have those ideas from different people.
And so the same concepts that work here in the U.S. will work in Zimbabwe. They're universal educational concepts. And is it just about connecting people with nature no matter where you live? I mean, what was the main takeaway from that class?
Yes, from what I observed is that the way how we are doing conducting our conservation education program back in Africa, home in Africa, it's almost the same like what we are doing in zoos, because our target, in mainly we target children, school children, and then we also expand our programs to adults. And I realized that the methods which we use, of course we defy this because of different facilities. Back home, we are having national parks, and we still have a lot of undisturbed nature. But here in zoos, we still have those animals. But the same concept of making children or whoever is interested in nature develop that love for wildlife is the same. And right now, my presence here has actually showed that it is relevant for most people from Africa there to take this opportunity like what I've done to come here and also experience that and beef up their knowledge in that area.
So what gave you your love for nature?
Actually, when I grew up in Tete, that is Wange, near one of the biggest national park, that is Wange National Park in Zimbabwe. National Park, Wange National Park, has got several species of animals. The elephants, there are about 176 species of wildlife animals, and then 401 species of birds. Now, actually, when I was growing there, it was good because I was in direct contact with nature. Unfortunately, I didn't have people to groom me until it came a time I had some conservation organizations which mainly focused on teaching or educating people about the importance of conserving nature. I was lucky that with that basic love or interest in nature, those organizations mushroomed, and then they managed to connect me with nature. First of all, what I did, I had to make an effort after completing my education. Then I had to apply for a post related to conservation. And I was even interested in volunteering to do work related to conservation. And luckily enough, I got people. Of course, most of them, they were coming from America with that interest and patience to teach me how you can even pass the information to other people, the importance of conserving nature.
Tell us about Paint a Dog Research Trust.
Yes, Paint a Dog Research Trust is a research trust which was founded by Dr. Greg Rasmussen. Dr. Greg Rasmussen is a well-known biologist, conservationist. He has done a project. He started, this is his second project in Zimbabwe. He started Paint a Dog Conservation, which is near Wange National Park, which he actually is doing almost a similar program. Now, he decided to have another program similar to that one, which is called Paint a Dog Research Trust, which is going to be more involved into science, scientific approach of conserving nature. And then the project also is going to be different from Paint a Dog Conservation because it's going to be accommodating those students from universities from all over the world. Now, despite that fact, Paint a Dog Research Trust, we know we are now, is now focusing much on students of more mature level. But the education concept or the intention to change people's mind back in Zimbabwe concerning wildlife has been taken part of being the most, one of the most important things, because we believe education can bring a change when it comes to conserving wild animals or plants or nature in general. So this project, Paint a Dog Research Trust, it also is integrated and is considered as one of the main activities to educate people on the importance of educating of conserving nature, both in schools and in communities. And that in communities, it also extends this program to community development in order to for communities to come up with sustainable projects which will empower the communities and understand that they can also benefit from nature.
In general, how do people view painted dogs in this area?
Yes, the people currently, the fact that painted dogs have not been, less attention has been paid to them as any other animal. They've been vulnerable to many situations whereby they've been, it has come to a point when they are now classified as endangered species. This has been due to human activities like habitat destruction. You know, in Africa, specifically in Zimbabwe, we still have that idea or that practice of clearing land for fields, for habit, for building homes. That has actually reduced the habitat of those animals. Then when it comes to, we still have some poaching activities whereby people, they try to earn a living. Of course, when you talk about the employment opportunities, we still have the challenge of employment. And then those people, their alternative, they resort to poaching. In most cases, the poaching they do, they'll be targeting the antelope family. And the antelope family includes the impala, which is one of the favorite preys for the painted dogs. These animals, when the painted dogs look for their prey, and I'm taking from the fact that when those people are doing the poaching, they will set the snares intended to get the painted, the impala. And then eventually the impala doesn't pass through that place. And then during the time when the painted dog targets and follows the path of the impala, you know, animals have got that sensing ability. They are able to get caught in the snares. And that has contributed a lot in terms of their death. Then painted dogs, some farmers still believe that most carnivores, including painted dogs, they are a problem to their livestock. They kill their livestock. So they've gone to an extent of resorting to shooting them, therefore intending to solve that problem. You know, we have got this what is called human and wildlife conflict. And then we also have painted dogs like domestic dog. They like playing on the road. And then it happens that some vehicles, they speed. I've seen they wouldn't survive here in America where these vehicles just cruise and speed. They are killed by those vehicles while they are lying on the road. Of course, we have an insignificant number of those painted dogs killed by some diseases, which I cannot say is too much as compared to what humans are doing out there.
So let me know if I'm correct. They're basically getting lumped in with all the carnivores, but is it more likely that it's lions and other big cats that are taking the livestock? Do the painted dogs actually take very much livestock from the local people?
No. From my own assessment, being in the field of conservation, the fact that people don't know painted dogs, it means it's an animal which doesn't prefer human to be close to human habitats.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate that any wild animal and people, they don't take their time to differentiate species of animals, especially when it comes to the identifying using spoons. You know, if an animal kills your livestock, you check your spoons. That's what you do. But people always believe that some animals which are similar and have similar spores like the painted dogs or whatever, they cause that problem. I'll come back to the lion issues. Lions, yes, where I come from in Zimbabwe, I'll refer to lions and the hyenas. There are some challenges when it comes to that issue where some animals have caused human and wildlife conflict when they attack people's livestock. But the main problem we have there is that some people out there, despite the fact that they've got a role to play in taking care of their livestock, they are not doing much.
Hmm.
Whereby you find people, they let their livestock overnight being out of their enclosures. That has contributed a lot. And secondly, I believe from my conservation background, once you go for poaching activities, you are finishing most of these species of animals which are needed by those predators. And then they will run out of those predators. I know we are not doing that at a large scale. Then the alternative for those animals is to come back to the communities, and then they will become a problem. And then that becomes human and wildlife conflict. It has become a problem because despite the fact that we teach people, because as I'm saying, When you are into conservation, you don't mainly focus on your species of animal. We take an extra mile to make people aware of such challenges, and we seek their cooperation, whereby we encourage them to practice that system of taking care of their animals, like keeping them in enclosures overnight, which they don't do in most cases. And some people, when they run, some communities, when they run out of places where they can have their livestock having enough to graze, they decide illegally to move into these forest areas, to these national parks, to this game reserve, and they don't control these animals, and then they move further. Lions, hyenas, and whatever animal or cats, they will sense these animals when they are at the park, and even if they are out of the park, they will track those animals. Then that becomes a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So let's dive deeper into the solutions to these problems. So we talked about the importance of keeping livestock in these different enclosures. Talk more about some of the solutions that you and Painted Dog Research Trust are working on with the community.
Yes. Now, when it comes to the solution, despite the fact that it's not something easy, because it's something which other people take it as something interesting on my side, the solution, as Painted Dog Research Trust we have taken, is like we decided to educate people, starting with the children at school, in schools. Children in schools, we target them because, you know, it's easy to make arrangement with the school to go, and we have that catch them young policy, whereby we go to schools. It's a well, a school is a well-organized institute where you can actually coordinate your meeting with anyone. So in my case, what I do under Painted Dog Research Trust, I visit schools and conduct conservation education lessons and teach children. Of course, we are much into painted dogs, but we have said that painted dogs don't live alone in the wild. We have incorporated other wildlife species, other plants, that's other wildlife plants, that's the flora and fauna in our program. And whatever we are teaching is in line with the curriculum. I conduct classroom lessons. I arrange with the schools. They give me a slot. And most schools have accepted and agreed and accommodated my teaching in schools because it's in line with some of the content of their schools. And my program has been accommodated because they've said it actually gives children the opportunity to interact with nature, unlike the teaching in most classrooms, whereby teachers don't give children such an opportunity. And then I also form some conservation clubs in these schools which I visit, which have actually cemented the membership of some those conservation clubs through coming up. It's like I've cemented the membership of those conservation clubs by starting some projects with those clubs, like gully reclamation activities, some snare wire crafts making, and some activities which might be nature-related and entertaining to children. And children and schools have welcomed that because they are productive in terms of the environment around the school and also beefing up their knowledge. And as Painted Dog Research Trust, we also have a program. We bring our children to what we call Painted Dog Research Trust Conservation Ecology Center. This is a center next to some of these communal, near some of these communal areas. Now the center has got those rules and regulations, like a sanctuary or something which forbids or doesn't allow anyone to tamper with nature. So it has remained with undisturbed in nature. In this center, we do some activities which always call them nature interactive activities, which bring children closer to nature. Like they are designed in such a way that children, they know the adaptations of the plant. They know the importance of certain things which are part of nature, like the spider web. Why the spider web is there? What role does it play? What role can the spider web play in the living of other living things? So we are having that connectivity, which we try to create with children with nature. And then we also have, as part of the exciting program, some programs which have brought children to have what is called, which have got citizen science concept, whereby we bring elephant dung and we ask those children, after teaching them on the importance of elephants, social and economical, and ask them to destroy the elephant dung, so that our intention with those children is to make them aware of the species of indigenous tree species preferred by the elephants. So that, as I'm saying, the population of elephants in Zimbabwe has grown in such a way that it has become a problem to the environment. So we are discovering those species through the elephant dung and children contributing, and then they record that.
Give us an example of one of the favorite activities that the kids like to take part in.
Yes, one of the favorite activities which children do, which is has received much response, is like children, when they come to our place, I know that one of the objectives of our program is to groom children who are going to be future researchers. It's an activity whereby children, they demonstrate an activity done by researchers when go to the wild, where they collar the painted dogs. They track the painted dogs. In this activity, children are taught how the radio transmitter collar functions, how the directional area functions, how the radio receiver functions, what happens, like one of the children becomes a painted dog, and then they become researchers, they touch the painted dog, which means that child is going to hide at a certain place. Of course, it's going to be a safe place. Then the other children are going to take that child. And that has received an overwhelming response from the other researchers and the wildlife researchers, saying we are doing a great job to cultivate interest in that area, in these children we are dealing with.
I could see how kids could really enjoy that.
Yes.
It's about technology,
yes.
And it's kind of a hide-and-seek type game. I think that sounds really fun.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the snare wire art.
Yes, snare wire, we have, in our program under community development, we have discovered that snare wire has been put into, I can say, bad use, whereby people have been using it for snaring, to catch animals. Now, for us, we have got into a program whereby we want to change the mindset of the people, that wire can be better put into better use. Communities in our area are now engaged in a program whereby we get some wires, even if they don't get them on their own, and we get someone who is an expert in using wirecrafts, and then that person teaches them how to use wirecrafts. If we create and we encourage them to produce good wirecrafts, which is in which they bring to that wirecraft to us, and we find the market for them. And then when that wirecraft is bought, and then we sell it, and in that way, it's part of community development we do, because we are trying to cushion these communities so that tomorrow they won't have that excuse of saying we poach because we are trying to earn a living. So in our case, what we do, we are trying to sort of make them survive, and we have our way going that they understand what we are saying. And that has received an overwhelming response. And the next time, we are going to expand other programs, like teaching them some sustainable gardening projects, whereby we will practice biological farming.
We are so excited to have you here. We're so thankful for all the work that you and your whole team at Painted Dog Research Trust does to not only save painted dogs, but all the other animals and helping the people in this area. I just want you to know that you and your team are an inspiration to us here at Blank Park Zoo. We hope that we've shared a little bit about Blank Park Zoo conservation education. I know that you're going to Oklahoma City Zoo next. Is that right?
Yes, I'm going to Oklahoma.
Okay.
I thank very much. I would like to extend my thanks to Blank Park Zoo for giving us this opportunity to explore ways how we can improve our ways of teaching, because I believe The children who are produced here, they are also, I know indirectly one way or another, they are going to come to Africa. And then they will love nature in Africa. And then they will also give ideas. And all those children which are passing through the ends of Oklahoma Zoo, Blank Park Zoo, they are part of us. And we really appreciate what Blank Park Zoo is doing in terms of helping us as a project, because it has gone a way of getting us established as both a research and a conservation education project. Thank you.
Thank you. It's all about partnerships and working together. What is the website for Painted Dog Research Trust where people can find out more information?
It's www.painteddog.org.
Thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome.
And thank you for joining us. And if you want to learn more about Blank Park Zoo, head over to our website, blankparkzoo.com. You can find out all about our upcoming events and learn about us more on our social media sites, Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and YouTube, of course. We have lots of videos on YouTube. And we'll see you next time on Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo.